What's going on, guys? Tony here with Early Call Time Podcast. Just wanted to drop a note that this week's episode is super duper special Valentine's edition with the wives of race directors. That's right, we've got Leslie Ash and Christina Yamanaka hosting this week's banter episode. They're going to talk about everything that is being married to Tony and Eli, as well as being wives of race directors. I'm sure a lot of those significant others of you listeners would appreciate this. Be sure to pass this episode along so they can really listen in and relate to what it's like to be married to a race director. Have fun with Race Talk. We'll catch you on the next episode of Early Call Time, which should be in the next couple weeks, with a really great interview. Thanks so much for listening and enjoy this great episode.
Oh yeah, baby. Today is your day. Time to get out there on the run, and have tons of fun. You're listening to Early Call Time. Oh yeah.
Hi there, folks, and welcome to another episode of Early Call Time, the podcast where Tony and Eli usually discuss issues and news in the road race industry and get to know some of the people who keep it running. But today's episode is a special one. My name is Christina Yamanaka, and I'm Tony's wife. And I'm joined today by a special guest co-host, Leslie Wise, who is Eli's wife. Hey there, Leslie.
Hey, Christina. So excited to be recording with you. It's February, the month of Valentine's Day, and in honor of that holiday, the men we love have asked us to come on and banter about what it's like to be the long-suffering wives of people who work in the running events industry. Also, although they didn't ask us to do this, we're probably going to be telling you a lot of secrets about them.
Totally. And I'd like to point out there that it's also one of Leslie and I's favorite holidays, Galentine's Day. So I just feel like it's just extra special that they've asked us to come on and chit chat with you guys this month. So True. If you've ever wondered what it's like to not work in the running events industry and not to volunteer at running events, but to be voluntold that you're working a running event, buckle up because this is the episode for you.
Okay, so before we start, we should probably tell the listeners a little bit about ourselves. Christina, what do you do? Where are you from? How'd you meet Tony?
So I am from the Boston area. I'm from Dedham, Massachusetts. I was born and raised up in the Boston area, went to college there. Shout out to Bentley University. And then I moved down to Austin, Texas after graduation because I was sick of the snowstorms. I had had enough. I didn't want to shovel anymore. I needed to go somewhere a little bit sunnier. And I found myself here in Austin, which definitely is sunny. Kind of forgot that the summers would be very hot compared to Boston summers, but I have survived so far. I work for Cliff Bar and Company. I am our Texas field marketing manager. So in a normal world and not this weird upside down world that we're living in, I am usually out managing all of our event partnerships and sponsorships in the state of Texas. And traveling around to other markets to help out at some of our big events like the Boston Marathon or Ironman World Championships in Kona. And I met Tony at a Halloween party. So nothing running related. He was dressed as a spoon, as one does. I was having a party at my house with my roommates, and we had a mutual friend in common, which is how he heard about it. And he walked through the house dressed as a spoon, and I just turned to my girlfriend and said, "That's a really cute spoon." And so went and chatted with him. We have a really fun photo from that night. I was dressed as a German beer garden girl. Sorry, a sexy German beer garden girl, because I was like 24, and that's what you did. And we actually, on our 10-year anniversary of that Halloween, we recreated the outfits, which was really fun. I would like to point out that I had rented my costume from a costume shop in Austin called Lucy in Disguise on South Congress. And I'm fairly certain it was the same exact costume that I had rented 10 years prior. And I was very excited that it still fit.
That's awesome. Yes.
But tell me about you. What do you do? Where are you from? How did you and Eli meet? Spoiler alert, I had something to do with it.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm originally from Kansas, a very big Jayhawks fan. And I met Eli in Austin. We had both lived there for about a year when my very dear friend Christina invited me to a Patriots watch party. I, of course, have zero interest in football or really sports in general. But, you know, as you do in your 20s when you're just like needing to, you know, be social, you go. And yeah, while I was there, Eli sat across the table from me and I don't think that we really talked much that night other than like just introducing, saying, hey. But then a couple of days later, you called me and said, hey, you know, my coworker that was at the Patriots game, he wants to ask you out. And so I said, well, should I? You're the one that knows him. It's weird. And, he's definitely weird. I don't think that you told me he was weird, but he's weird in all the good, non-threatening ways. So, so the rest is history. We went out and got married, and we are now in Minneapolis, as many of the listeners already know. And I am doing my job here is as a community and school-based therapist. So I am working with children and adults of all ages around the Twin Cities, supporting them with their mental health needs. So really loving that job. I'm in elementary schools. And then, like I said, also doing in-home therapy with adults around town. The pandemic has obviously changed a lot of it. Doing in-person is kind of tricky with with an infectious disease spreading all around. But we have met in person, when there's medical necessity, and especially with the young kiddos, it is so hard to do virtual. But I'm getting my second dose of vaccine this Wednesday, so I am really excited to take that extra anxiety that I've been carrying around with me every time I meet the people that I work with, just out of the equation.
That's exciting. Yay for the vaccine. I hope to be there soon.
Can't wait for Eli to get his, whenever that happens. But yeah, so,
Yay. So I know, Eli and Tony always ask their guests this question, so I feel like we should ask each other what your background is with running.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my illustrious running career. it began as a JV teammate on the cross country and track teams at Derby High School, and ended my junior year when I got kicked off the cross country team for missing too many meets. I was definitely not the most dedicated runner, not my proudest moment, but also, truthfully, I only joined because of my friends anyways. I lack any genetic gift in running. I am not fast no matter how much I've trained. That happened. I moved on. A seed was planted clearly because I continued to run, all through college in my 20s, just for fitness. It's always just been kind of part of my routine. I would say even more consistent part of my routine in my 30s, just as I've kind of recognized how beneficial it is to my own mental health. Running makes me feel so much better. I have ran two marathons, which is actually, when I'm thinking about like all the friends that I joined the cross country team for, none of them have ran a marathon. So, joke's on you, coach.
Aha, you run two, which I also would like to point out is one more than your husband.
Yes. No, you're right. But we're definitely winning the more marathons. Certainly your addition gets our numbers up pretty high. So yeah, Christina, what is your running background?
So I got into running in high school very similarly to you, in that all my friends were doing it. My parents had this rule where we had to do a sport. And so I did field hockey my first semester. I am not a natural athlete when it comes to like any type of hand-eye coordination whatsoever. So I was terrible at field hockey. And then I joined the indoor track team because all my girlfriends were doing it. And it just stuck. I ended up, I started as a sprinter. I am not a sprinter, still not a sprinter. But my coach had the foresight to kind of discover that I was a long distance runner. And so I spent most of my career in the 2 mile, and then in college running the 3000. So I ran for a couple seasons in college and then just ran into some injuries with IT band, which is, you know, always so fun. So I took off my last years of college to just kind of take a break. And then when I moved to Austin, I started working for the Austin Marathon and Half Marathon. And part of my job would be going to different expos throughout the year and promoting the race and trying to get people to sign up for it. And people would always have very specific marathon related questions that I couldn't answer because I had never run one before. And I got very frustrated with not being able to answer it. So I walked on over to the rock and roll booth at one of these expos and signed up for their race in San Diego, and ran Rock and Roll San Diego, which I ended up qualifying for Boston my first time. Man, you can do magical things when you're in your young 20s.
I'm so jealous.
So I've ended up running I've ran five marathons, including Boston. My last one was CIM, Calendar National, in 2015. And then at that point, I just needed a break. I had run five kind of back to back. And when I finished, you were there at the finish line to catch me.
I was. Yes,
do you remember what I told you?
I do remember what you told me. What's the status on that? So, yeah.
I was very frustrated. I was trying to qualify again. I didn't. I had a rough day. And I looked at Red and I go, never let me run a marathon again. And
you
she just kind of
so
laughed.
Serious.
And I was
so
like, no,
serious.
Promise me, if I ever sign up for one, talk me out of this. Remind me of this moment.
So where are we at on that?
So for a couple of years, I held steadfast to that conviction of mine. And then when the pandemic hit and really couldn't do anything, I decided to take running back up. I had still run the last couple of years, but nothing too serious. And I started getting into the groove of doing Saturday long runs because no longer was I working weekends. All of my events had been canceled. And so I started long running again. And so the itch is kind of back. So I may have to rescind my request to you at some point.
I
think I might be ready to dip my toe back in the marathon world.
All right. Well, you know, I support whatever decision you make.
Oh, thank you.
I'm curious, are there any races out there that are especially tempting as you consider breaking that sacred oath that you made at the finish line?
Well, I have run two of the majors. I've run Boston and I ran Chicago. And so I've kind of come up with this plan on long runs over the last couple of months, but I think it would be really cool to run all of the majors in my lifetime. And so I think if I was the next one to be knocked off my list or checked off my list, I think I would want it to be Tokyo because I have just had a real curiosity about Japan. I mean, our last name is Yamanaka. I got to go to Japan and really just confuse the heck out of everybody there when they see me and then they see my last name. So yes, hopefully we'll see how all the majors do this fall. But hopefully 2022, 2023, I might be able to get back into it. We will see.
All right. Well, I will be waiting in suspense to see how that all unfolds. Awesome. All right. So you currently work in kind of a running events adjacent industry, managing Texas field marketing for Cliff. But you actually used to work in the running events industry, which is, of course, how I met Eli because you guys were coworkers. Can you tell us what you used to do and what that was like for you?
Yeah. So I worked at a company called Conley Sports. So we owned and operated the Austin Marathon and Half Marathon. And so I kind of worked my way up in that organization throughout the years. I think I was there for about, I think it was 10 years. And about year six or seven, we had started managing the event ops for the 3M Half Marathon, which is a standalone half marathon in January every year in Austin. 3M company has one of their corporate headquarters here. So they own the race and their internal staff manage it for years, but it just got to a point where it was growing so much and getting so popular that they wanted to bring a production company in to produce it. And so that's when I made my switch into race directing and directed that race for the last three or so years before I switched over to Cliff. I loved my years in the events industry. There were some really early mornings and some really late nights. But I can look back at it fondly because I don't have any 2 a.m. call times in my current world. And but I really loved it. I miss the camaraderie we had on event weekends, not only with my colleagues, like my other staff members, but with some of our long-standing team leaders and volunteers and the staff we worked with at the city. It was a really fun time, and I do miss it. I get to moonlight every now and again on some of Tony's events, so I can dust off the cobwebs and, you know, I guess I'll get up at 2 o'clock in the morning now and again to help out if Tony needs it. But
yeah, definitely good times back in Austin.
Yes. So Red, while you've worked, or I guess you've been voluntold, as we like to say.
I don't think I've had any paid position.
But you have, so you've never fully worked in the running industry besides being voluntold. So can you tell us from the outside what working in the running industry looks like to you?
Oh, sure. Well, I think, you know, before I met you or Eli, I didn't even know there was a running industry, you know. It just didn't cross my mind that people worked year-round, you know, for these events that I would show up and run on Sunday morning, you know, those little 5Ks and 10Ks that I did. But after I met you guys, I, you know, quickly learned that this is a full-time job. And I would say also it's even after gaining that awareness, it's definitely shifted. You know, when I first met Eli and we were not serious enough for him to ask me to do any of these like really unfun and unglamorous volunteer jobs, he would kind of show me that the softer side of the running industry, you know, the VIP events and, you know, all the little perks that come with, you know, doing something that's such a big celebration, in a city. But then, you know, as our relationship got more serious, so did the jobs that he would ask of me. So yeah, that's when I kind of realized like, wow, it is definitely hard work. It's sometimes very, very gross work. I've definitely met Eli at the door after he's come home, you know, after spending several hours in a literal dumpster to ensure that his sustainability goals were met.
I was really hoping we would mention that he's spent time in dumpsters at events.
Yeah.
He's passionate. He's nothing but passionate.
He is nothing but passionate. Yep. If not passionate. But yeah, I think, yeah, I've really kind of learned, you know, just how much hard work it takes for these events to go off. And ultimately, you know, it's one of those jobs where the more hard work you put in making it better, the less people I think realize
100%.
How much hard work went into
100%.
Making it like, such a seamless experience for them. But yeah, no, I mean, I think the running industry and the events, it's such a cool, unique job. And the fact that, you know, you work literally all year and to put on these events, you know, certainly the big ones, and then like really get to like see all of everything that you're doing set in motion, you know, in like one day, like, and even like one half of a day, it's just really magical.
It really is. I often tell some of my friends who are runners but have never worked in the running industry that if they ever get the chance to just volunteer on a race weekend, because you get such an appreciation for the event when you see like a peek behind the curtain and everything that goes on to make this event that you've always run happen. It's just getting that different perspective on it, I think, is so important. So for anyone out there who, most of our listeners here, I believe, are in the event industry, but if you're not and you're just a passionate runner, sign up for a volunteer role at your next event when that happens.
Absolutely.
Again.
Yeah, if you dare. So we've kind of talked about our jobs, the running industry, and now I'm ready to hear some secrets, I think.
Oh, great. Let's do it. Let's jump on in.
So, Christina, what is Tony like before a big race? Or more exactly, maybe like, you know, what is your house like? Are you alone because he's working such long hours? Do you just wish you were alone because, you know, offering full-time moral support is taxing? Like, yeah, what's that like?
Yes.
Tell us what that experience is.
Totally. So Tony and I have a unique setup in that even before the pandemic, we both work from home. We work out of home offices. So we have separate spaces. There was a very short period of time before we moved into the house that we're currently in that we worked out of the same room. And that was, I would not recommend it. So now we have our own spaces. But a lot of times in, you know, before the pandemic hit, Tony and I are kind of were like ships passing in the night. None of his events that he works on are in the Austin area. And so when it was race week, he typically was getting on a plane or driving to another city to put on that event. And so, you know, he would have some of his big events and he'd be in a different city and I would be at home. What I like to joke with friends that when Tony goes out of town, my favorite thing to do and eat is Annie's macaroni and cheese. Well, if I'm being honest with you listeners, it's really Kraft. Kraft just tastes better than Annie's, but I just like to tell people Annie's, so it sounds a little bit better. But to be truly honest with you, it's Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Embrace it. Yeah. Well, Kraft's delicious.
Kraft macaroni and cheese, and I'll have a little bit of scotch, and I will watch all of The Real Housewives. Stressed out in another city and I'll just be lounging at home.
I really like that you have learned not to hold on to, you know, the stress that your partner creates.
There are times, again, since I've worked in this industry, that I will go and help him out at events. And usually Dallas Marathon is a big one, is their biggest race of the year. And if I'm able to, if I don't have a conflicting schedule, I usually try to go and work out that weekend. And I would say Tony he's very methodical on race weekend. So he'll spend, you know, 18 hours on site and then we'll go back to the Airbnb wherever we're staying close to the race site. And he will be, he'll set out all his clothes for the next day and he puts them in order of how he needs to put them on.
It's
all lined up in a row, in the bathroom, because he always takes a shower the morning of an event, which is bananas to me. I would rather sleep in the clothes that I'm wearing the next day.
Absolutely.
If it means I get a couple more minutes of sleep. But he will get up and shower because it wakes him up, and then he'll, you know, put on everything that he's got in order
that he laid out. That is incredible.
Even down to like, you know, the vest he's going to wear and the radio. But if, you know, the lanyard goes on first, the lanyard is lined up first, and he's got it down to a science now. So it's just, it's just very fun to see how different we are in that sense, where I'm just rolling out of bed, usually wearing something of what I'm wearing the next day so I can get a couple more minutes of sleep. Very focused during race week. He's definitely like business Tony, I like to call it. And then once everything is wrapped up, he'll let loose after the event when we're all having beers. But what's same question to you. What about Eli on race weekend? What's it like?
Well, so I don't know if any of Early Call Time's listeners are ever brave enough to listen to the pod on like 2x speed, but that that's definitely Eli race week. Maybe more like 3x speed if we're being really honest. I mean, he becomes kind of superhuman in my eyes, in terms of his focus and stick-to-itiveness. I think the new term that we use is grit, but he is very gritty. I mean, he's on it, like just unwavering pattern of problem solving and figuring out what needs to be done and doing it. I think, you know, his very first CIM when we had moved to California, I am not sure that he slept for 2 weeks before leading up to it. And I just want to be clear, because when I say that, I think you might mean that he had a lot of late nights.
Oh, no.
But like, what I mean is that I literally think like he worked 24 hours a day for 2 weeks straight. It was nuts to watch. I don't know how he did it. Like physically, you know, I certainly need like my 8 hours every single
100%.
Night. And typically he does too, but race week, race month, it's like this like aura like comes over him and he just is just that laser focus, just so intense. In terms of like what our house is like, you know, it's a little different every year. You know, every year's got a different new problem to solve. But I really like how you described ships in the night. absolutely. You know, the last several years, I've been in grad school and, you know, finals and end of semester papers are always happening in December, right when CIM is. And so like we really both kind of would just be on autopilot and try to wave hello, you know, every time we both glanced up from our computers at the same time. Yep. But definitely, you know, our usually very equal share of household responsibilities, it definitely disrupted a little bit around race weekend.
Oh, totally. Same here.
Lots of frozen pizzas, lots of coffee. Oh my goodness. Lots of coffee. And certainly if, you know, I don't have anything going on, there's definitely a little bit more falls on my shoulders in terms of making sure like our house doesn't like fall down or anything like that. But
could I recommend Kraft macaroni and cheese to you guys? I don't know if you've heard about it, but it is this excellent entree that really.
Well, yeah, I've heard the guys, you know, call out for sponsors and whatnot. I wonder if Kraft, you know, I don't know. We're just putting it out there.
That's excellent. Excellent. So, is there anything that you and Eli have as a tradition, like before a big race or on race weekend, like any rituals that you two always do together?
Well, okay. So to be honest, the first thing that came to my mind is the, you know, multi-annual tradition of him asking me to set a backup alarm for whatever ridiculous early call time he has. like, you know, I trust him. I trust the technology. But that without fail. Hey, can you set? It's 2:30. Can you set a backup?
I'm very familiar with that request. That certainly happens in our household too, especially if I'm not even working that event. I'll still get the, hey, would you mind? Could you?
Yeah. Like you can't say no. Yes. Like,
oh yeah. And I mean, I will knock on all of the wood in here before I say this, but I mean, he has yet to miss an alarm on race day, but I'm happy to set the backup one too.
I guess in a way it's, you know, a little bit of like it's a little bit of a moral support thing, perhaps. Yeah. You know, solidarity is important.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm trying to think if we have any rituals, but definitely the alarm one comes to mind in pre-race.
Thinking of like in terms of like maybe more sweet traditions, the last several CIMs, like on Wednesday night of race week, he would have to like go to the finish line and spray paint, you know, markers and stuff for the finish line enclosures there and everything. And so we'd always do that together. It was a lot easier parking wise too, to have a driver for stuff like that. But yeah, we'd go and the finish line is at the California State Capitol. So like the holiday lights would be up, you know, and it was always just kind of a little bit of the calm before the storm, you know, with race day right there on the horizon. It was kind of nice. I'd like to say that we would like go out and get a nice dinner after that, but that that never happened. No. We would go straight home, maybe with some tacos and
an early call time that next day. Yep. There is no time for anything else.
What about you guys? Any good traditions?
I'm trying to think, not necessarily before the race, but we always after event day, you know, that evening whenever the day has finally wrapped up and, you know, the radios have all been put away and it's just a couple folks left on site will always walk and go grab something to eat or maybe a beer and just talk about what the day was like, what the weekend was like. And usually there's other folks from the team there and we're all just swapping stories. And that's always I always look forward to that post-race celebration time. It's a little bit different at each and every event, but I love that time to just kind of decompress and talk with Tony and see how it went. And some of the other staff members is always, it's always really nice to take that time to do it.
Totally. Such a catharsis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to like wrap it up nice and celebrate your accomplishments. Yep. All this time and energy has gone into this event and you really got to enjoy it.
For sure.
So my next question for you is, what about one of those race days where you're both working, whether you've been voluntold or it's a contract event where you end up as a paid staffer? What kind of jobs have you done on race day? And I guess what I'm really trying to ask is, what is the worst job that Eli has made you do on race weekend? I need to know.
Oh, man. Well, so the worst job he's ever asked me to do is just basically anything after 4 p.m.
Oh, you're like a pumpkin. You turn into a pumpkin.
I totally do. You know, you get up early, you're sleep deprived. And it's definitely like an issue of expectations of like, you think you're about like wrapped up and done. And then like, he totally pulls like a Columbo move of, oh, and there's just one more thing. And I, you know, you need to drive this Penske to 40 miles away and drop it off, you know, or, you know, go back to the warehouse and make sure that so, like whatever. But yeah, just that it's always, yeah, that last request is like the one that I'm just like, I can't.
I actually think I have distinct memories of seeing you on like Austin Marathon weekend having to drive like a Penske driver back to the Penske location in like far South Austin as I'm like walking to have a beer and you're like, I'll be back. I have to drive to Buda. It's like, oh no, Eli's making Red drive to Buda.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, you remember correctly. Yeah, totally. Actually, the house that we have in Minneapolis is like a mile. I don't even think it's a mile and a half. I think it's like closer to a mile away from a Penske. And like,
when you drive past it.
I'm like, yes, like if this happens, it'll be so much easier now.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, more specifically, there is one job that comes to mind. He was, they had like a Super Bowl Sunday run in Sacramento. And it was a really special run where every participant got to pick like the team colors of their favorite NFL team for their t-shirts. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, well, that means, you know, you've got your men's and your women's and your smalls, medium, and large. But this time, fun little twist, you also have them in every single NFL team colors.
No, every team had a t-shirt.
Yeah.
There's like 74 teams in the NFL.
At least. I think it's more. No, I have no idea.
It's a lot. I think it's a lot.
It is so many. You know, of course, you know, being in California, there is always a lot of like, you know, 49ers and, you know, Oakland requests. But like you still had that box that had the, you know, the three gosh, I'm trying to think of like newer, like the Saints, you know, uh-huh. like random New Orleans fans. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, just that distribution was chaos. Actually, you know, I'm selling myself short. It wasn't chaos because we figured out, you know, systems and processes to make it all happen, but it just wasn't fun, I guess.
Oh, man. It wasn't fun. Yeah, I can imagine how that was. Oh, yeah.
What Come about on, you? Yeah, I know, right? What about you? Any real tough jobs you've had to do with Tony or that he's had? Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There is one year, a couple years past at Dallas Marathon where it was the first year after like a pretty major site change. And so I was dispatched to help with the runner exit area. So after the runner crossed the finish line and gone through the controlled zone and gotten their water and medal and t-shirt, they would exit into this area that on the other side was also family reunion. And family reunion area was still like a decent, like, you know, I don't know, 20 yards away, but humans are humans. And all of those family members just kept creeping up to the exact exit of this controlled zone. And I had to try to control the chaos and get these, you know, very excited or, you know, sometimes worried family members who all they want to do is go in there and search for their runner. Try to keep them at bay, which was quite an undertaking. I finally, that was the year that I discovered that bullhorns have a recording feature because at a certain point after telling the same instructions over and over, my voice started to crack a little bit. And then I discovered you could record a message. So I recorded it and I just kept hitting play over and over and like walking back and forth in front of the crowd with my recorded message to back up. Yeah, that was that you really just don't want to get in the way of like a very concerned mama bear waiting for first time marathoning son. And she's, that was an experience.
I bet. Yeah. I'm just thinking like, you know, as someone who deals with emotions professionally in my job, like there are a lot of emotions at a finish line and on both sides. And, yeah, you essentially need to be an emotional professional if you're brave enough to work that area.
Yeah. I guess I did it well enough because I got stuck in that same spot the next year. But I knew what to expect. And we had made a couple of changes, like painting a very bright line on the ground so I could tell people, like, stay behind the yellow line.
Helpful. Yep. Physical, like, tangible markers are so helpful, right?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a grounding exercise, basically. Totally. Love it. Oh, man. So, yeah. So you, you know, you work with Tony, you know, here and there in the running event industry, and you used to be full time. I'm wondering, would you ever consider coming back, you know, full time back to the running events industry? And then I guess more importantly, would you ever consider working with Tony, like being a running event super power couple?
Oh, I mean, we could be like the Barack and Michelle of the running world.
Yes.
I would totally do it. Yes, I would. I would love to work side by side with Tony. We have worked several events together, both me going and helping on his events. And I've also had him out on some of our major Cliff Bar activations to help as well. So we work really well in those situations together. We also have a side hustle where we do food truck bookings and food truck events here in Austin. So we have experience working together at events. I would say I would need to have some work life boundaries and that I don't want to work events every weekend if we were to do it.
Yeah.
So that we could have downtime to like cook dinner and go on vacation and things like that. But yeah, I would totally work side by side with him again. Yeah, we'll see what the future holds.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what might be coming down the pipeline.
So I know Tony and Eli always ask their guests this question. So I guess we should close it out with it too. So when you and Eli finish working on your biggest annual event, What event is it? What day and time is it? Where do you go? What do you do? Who do you do it with?
Well, you know, Christina, I would be completely remiss if on this podcast with you, my dear friend, if I didn't mention the what we're doing and who we're doing it with origin story, which I think for us is, you know, the Austin Marathon circa, let's see, like 2011, 2014.
The golden years.
Around 6 or 7. The Conley Sports Hospitality Suite in downtown Austin. Yeah, with you guys. Usually with like us three and then Eli like rolling in full garbage garb on, getting in just before everyone starts leaving. But those were some really, really sweet memories.
Oh, yeah, that was the best. We used to have this hospitality suite. It was like the presidential suite at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Austin. So it was on like the 17th floor and it looked out over downtown Austin and Town Lake. And we would always have food brought in and there'd be beverages. And it was just a time for everyone to finish their day and then go to a place and tell everyone's war stories. And
yeah.
You know, everyone's day ends at different times. And so people would kind of come in one by one and we would always like clap and cheer for the next person who would come in. And oh yeah, those were some fun times. Memories.
The battle stories, yeah, the close calls. It was, yeah, the energy. It's like you're all so exhausted, but like still kind of on that high, you know. And yeah, I think it's what really kind of like made me like get why Eli's in this field, you know. Like,
totally.
It's those moments that are just like, ah, this is amazing.
Yeah, yep. I would say that's my answer too. Those were some great days.
Wonderful. That is a wrap for this special Valentine's Day Race Ops Wives edition of Early Call Time. Christina, it was so great talking with you and
this
kind of
wonderful.
Sharing these experiences. Tony and Eli, for all of you, you know, that's the reason you guys come to this pod, we know. They will be back later this month with an interview episode. But until then, if you enjoyed this episode, you know, feel free to leave a rating or review. But it's also not our podcast. And, you know, I'm kind of a do what you feel type of person. So.
And if you have any questions, comments, or guests you'd like Tony and Eli to invite, like if you need Early Call Time Wives 2.0, feel free to send them an email. Their email address is earlycalltimepod@gmail.com. And I really mean that. Go ahead, flood their inbox. Because honestly, the more race talk that they do with y'all is the less that we have to listen to at home.
Amen.
Oh, man. Well, thanks so much, Early Risers, for letting us share what it's like to live with us and love these weirdos. And don't you worry, Tony and Eli will be back to catch you up bright and early on the next episode of Early Call Time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
If organizing running events is your job, join Tony and Eli and all their friends on the Early Call Time pod.
Yay, we did it. Okay, so now I think you hit stop because Tony told me I have to download something.